equals him in any of his attributes. Also, when we said Allah Samad, we mentioned two meanings. The first is that all creatures turn to him in their needs, and the second is that he is the most perfect in his attributes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. In those two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states clearly that he does not beget, nor he is begotten. He begets not, nor is he begotten. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. He is the creator, and everything else is created. All messengers, all angels, everything else is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is the creator, and he is the creator of all things. All humans, all angels, everything that exists, the heavens, the earth, the stars, the trees, and everything is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything exists by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting its existence. Otherwise, nothing can exist without the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important part of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most unique. He does not resemble any of his creatures. If we attribute anyone of any relation to him, son or whatever, we are actually insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making some of his creatures reach his rank, and that is the rank of lordship and the rank of godhood. So this is a great insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a great cuss at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that he has a rival or a partner or a wife or a son or a companion in any way, or an equal in any way. This is a great insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because if we say that Allah has a son, then that means his son carries his attributes. And if we say that he has a son, then who is his father? He must be a son of someone also. And this will not end. So we must know for sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only God. And to attribute anyone to him as a son or as a wife or as any relation to him, then this is impossible. And this is an insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is against all the religions which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All prophets who came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have clearly stated to their people that they are only messengers of God, and that they are only slaves of God, servants, worshippers. None of them told his people that he is of any relation to God except that relation of serving him and being a slave of him and being a worshipper of him. This is the only relation between the prophets and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important, and we must know that this idea, this false idea of attributing a son to God or so on, this is an idea which was introduced thousands of years before Christ. It was the faith of the Romans, the pagan Romans, before Christ. They had this false thought and this false idea, and it was introduced to the Christian religion, for example, by Paul when he turned from Judaism to Christianity. He introduced the idea of Trinity to Christianity. That is hundreds of years after Jesus, peace be upon him. So no messenger of God dares to tell his people to consider him to be of any relation to God or to worship him with God in any way. So in this verse, when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is neither begotten nor he begets, it's very important to emphasize the issue of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one who deserves Godhood. He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. He is the only one who is most perfect. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this surah with the general important statement, saying that there is nothing like unto him. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or there is no one who is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who is equal to him in Godhood or in any of his attributes. Now, this last statement is part of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing unto like Allah, and he is the most hearing, the most seeing. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is nothing like unto him, or there is nothing which resembles him, or there is no equal to him, this means that there is no one who is considered to be God with Allah, there is no one who has any relation to God, there is no one who deserves to be worshipped other than Allah or besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great rule and a very necessary fundamental for our faith in Allah, because when we believe in Allah's attributes, we must believe in them according to this great rule, that there is no equal to Allah. There is nothing which resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we recite in the book of Allah verses which say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have two hands. So if we don't have this rule in our heart firmly established, then we might think of those two hands like our hands. And of course, if we do this, then we are resembling the creatures to Allah, and resembling Allah to the creatures, and we are sitting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have two hands, but his two hands are not like our hands, and we don't know how they are, but we believe in them truly. We don't change the meaning like the innovators do. When they come to such verses, they immediately change the true meanings to something else because of the sickness in their heart, because the first thing that comes to their mind when they hear the two hands of Allah is that they imagine your hand and my hand and his hand. Therefore they force themselves to choose other meanings. But for the believer who knows Allah, and that he knows that no one equals Allah in any way, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most perfect attributes, nothing resembles him in his self or in his attributes, then there is no problem. We believe in whatever Allah says about himself. If he says that he has two hands or he has two eyes, we believe in them. We believe that he has two hands and he has two eyes, just like he says. When he says that he loves and he becomes angry and he hates and he comes in the day of judgment and so on, we believe in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself. When he says that he rose upon his throne, we believe in that, and we don't imagine the rising of a human upon something, because this imagination is false, because the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be equaled to the attributes of the creatures in any way. So this is very important for us to understand the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in light of this great fundamental, and that is there is nothing unto like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this surah also, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a man in a battle, and he was reciting to his companions قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ in his prayer. So when they came back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they mentioned this to the Messenger, saying so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, ask him, why was he doing this? Why was he reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ in his prayer? So they did, they asked him, and he replied, because this surah includes the description of Ar-Rahman, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I love to recite it because of this, because this surah is totally devoted to the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell him that Allah loves him. Tell him that Allah loves him because he loves to recite this surah that is totally devoted to the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith we see very clearly that this man, this companion, was reciting this surah repeatedly because it was totally devoted to the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah loves this man because he loves this surah. Now, Surah Al-Ikhlas is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ in Quran, but also another surah which is related, which is قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. It is called Surah Al-Kafirun, but it is also called Surah Al-Ikhlas. This is another name for it. Also there is a hadith regarding this surah that the reward of reciting it is one-fourth of the reward of reciting the Quran. Now in Surah Al-Kafirun, we also find that this surah is totally devoted to the issue of Tawheed, to the fact that no one is worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you find in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make it clear to all those who do not worship Allah alone, they associate partners with Allah in worship, either idols or humans or messengers or angels or whatever, to make it clear to them that he has nothing to do with their faith. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, say, O Muhammad, to the kafirs, to the disbelievers who associate partners to Allah in worship, say to them, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, that I don't worship the ones who you worship, or the one who you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَبِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, and you are not worshipping who I worship. I'm worshipping Allah alone, and you are worshipping other gods, and yet you claim that you are worshipping God. So when you worship other gods besides Allah and claim that you are worshipping God, then your claim is false, and that means you are not worshipping Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to tell all those who associate partners to Allah one way or another, to tell them clearly that he has nothing to do with their faith, that their faith is false, that he is not worshipping what they worship. He is worshipping Allah alone, and that they are not worshipping what he worships. They are worshipping other gods with Allah. Therefore, they cannot claim that they are worshipping Allah when they are worshipping others besides him, because Allah does not accept this. He does not accept to be combined in worship with others. He only accepts pure worship of him. So anyone who worships others besides Allah in one way or another, then he is not worshipping Allah at all. He is not worshipping Allah at all. Now when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ordered to tell the disbelievers this, the disbelievers Some of them at that time who were the idol worshippers, and some of them were of the faith that associates son to Allah, like the Christians and the Jews, who used to say Ezra was the son of Allah, and so on. And there were other faiths which they were not worshipping Allah alone. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to declare his innocence from them, those worshippers, they were believing in Allah, they were believing in God, and they were believing